Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Well, we have, as usual, two more programs for you to listen to this week, and I hope they're good ones. We're going to start off with a trip to the MGM Hospital to visit with Dr. Kildare and Dr. Gillespie. And, of course, that's Dr. Kildare, the radio show. We're going to listen to Mystery Hemophiliac Patient.
The story of Dr. Kildare.
Whatsoever house I enter, there will I go for the benefit of the sick. And whatsoever things I see or hear concerning the life of men, I will keep silence thereon, counting such things to be held as sacred trust. I will exercise my art.
The story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. Metro Goldwyn Mayer brought you those famous motion pictures. Now this exciting, heartwarming series is heard on radio. In just a moment, the story of Dr. Kildare. Now the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Parker said you wanted to see me, Dr. Gillespie. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were alone.
It's all right, Jim. Come in. Come in. Mr. DeSarvo, this is Dr. Kildare.
Dr. Kildare? How do you do, sir?
Jimmy, Mr. DeSarvo has presented me with a problem, and I wanted you here as a witness.
Oh?
Mr. DeSarvo wants me to examine a man and treat him, but he wants me to do it without knowing the identity of the patient.
Nobody can know his identity. That is imperative. It's also highly unusual, Mr. DeSarvo.
I assure you it is necessary.
It's also necessary that I protect Blair Hospital.
I don't understand.
Oh, that should be rather simple to understand, Mr. DeSarvo. For all Dr. Gillespie knows, you may be asking him to treat a criminal or something, a man wanted by the law.
No, I give you my word. The man you will treat is not a criminal. Quite the contrary.
Well, then why can't you tell me who he is?
Dr. Gillespie, I can't even give you a reason. All I can say is that I hope someday I may be able to explain it to you.
There's one thing we're entitled to know. You didn't choose Blair Hospital and Dr. Gillespie out of thin air for this case.
The choice was made after extensive inquiry. Dr. Gillespie is reputed to be the finest internist available.
How do you know your patient needs an internist?
Because of the symptoms. Severe abdominal pain, general malaise, insomnia. Doctor, it is my understanding that you cannot refuse to treat a patient simply because you do not know his identity.
Oh, just a moment, Mr. DeSarvo. Dr. Gillespie hasn't refused treatment.
Then there is nothing further to discuss, is there? I will reserve two rooms here at the hospital for tomorrow morning. I'll occupy one of them so that I may be close at hand. And your patient will be admitted to the other under the name of John Smith.
John Smith. All right. Bring him in the morning and we'll have a look at him.
Thank you, gentlemen. I wish I could tell you what a tremendous trust is being placed in your hands.
Oh, just a moment, Mr. DeSarvo. Dr. Gillespie, according to the symptoms, we probably should run a GI series. The patient might as well be prepared for it anyway when he comes in, huh?
Yes, 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 of course, Jimmy, that's right. See that your John Smith takes no food or liquid of any kind after midnight tonight. Have him here and ready for examination at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Any request you make will be granted, Doctor.
Yeah. Any request will be granted, Doctor, except telling us who the patient really is.
Someday, frustration of your curiosity will give you an ulcer.
Oh, is that so? When did I ever go around sticking my nose into other people's business?
What was that noise?
I'll bet I know.
Oh!
Parker! What the devil are you doing?
I was just polishing up the knob on the door, that's all.
Since when have you taken over the janitor's job? You were listening at the keyhole, that's what you were doing.
Oh, I was not.
No, you were so. You're just busting to find out who John Smith is. Go on. Go back to your work and stop meddling.
Well, you don't have to go hollering just because I'm interested in my job, you know.
Women. Did you ever see anybody so nosy in all your life, Jimmy?
That's a delicate question.
Well, if a man wants to call himself John Smith, it's nobody's business but his own.
Well, I quite agree.
Who the devil can he be picking such a silly name like that?
Well, we may find out in the morning while we're finding out what's wrong with him. Now, don't be nervous, Mr. Smith. Fluoroscope can't harm you.
Oh, it just makes it possible for us to see how you're functioning organically.
I quite understand. I won't be a difficult patient.
Oh, I'm sure you won't. Heart looks all right. Move the viewing plate down, Jimmy.
Okay. Get a look at the... Look at this, Dr. Gillespie.
I see it, in the pyloric region.
Have you had difficulty retaining food lately, Mr. Smith?
Yes. Sometimes I suffer from extreme nausea.
Better get a better look at that, Jimmy. Parker, where's the barium mixture?
Right here, Dr. Gillespie.
Give it to Dr. Kildare.
Thank you. Mr. Smith, I want you to take this glass in your left hand. Got it?
Yes.
Now, this is barium. It's a metallic liquid. Harmless, but it shows up well in the fluoroscope and x-ray. We can trace its course through your digestive tract. I want you to start by taking just one large swallow.
All right, doctor.
That's good, good. Now, just hold the glass. I want you to drink the rest of it in a minute.
Use a little hand pressure, Jimmy.
All right.
Force it around the pyloric region.
Let me know if this causes you any discomfort, Mr. Smith. See it clearly now?
Yeah, very clearly.
All right, Mr. Smith, drink the rest of the mixture. Take it all down quickly as possible, please. Now, I'll tilt the backboard into table position. I want you to climb up on it and lie down on your stomach. That's it. Now, lie on your right side of your face. Arms above your head, please.
I'll move the viewplate, Jimmy.
Thanks.
Hey, there it is. That's the spot.
Yeah. All right, Parker, turn off the fluoroscope, put on the lights.
You just stay in that same position for a few minutes, Mr. Smith.
All right.
Want me to call the x-ray technician?
Yeah. Tell him to take four-quarter views and let's know when they're ready.
After the x-rays are finished, you can go back to your room, Mr. Smith. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, doctor.
Well, what do you think, Jimmy?
We'll know better when we see the x-rays, of course, but there's a definite growth on the pylorus.
A dangerous growth.
Not necessarily, not unless it's malignant.
Well, if it isn't now, it will be if it's left there much longer.
I'd recommend exploratory surgery unless the plates indicate a benevolent tumor.
I am afraid that what we saw wasn't benevolent.
Here are the x-rays, Dr. Gillespie.
Oh, good. Let's have a look at them.
I'm afraid they don't require very much looking.
Yeah.
You agree?
All the appearances of carcinoma.
That's what I thought. Well, it'll have to be removed.
And in a couple of weeks at the most. If the growth spreads, the pylorus will be completely obstructed. After that, we'd be too late.
Well, we don't have any worry on that score. It isn't too late now, from all indications. It's still operable, and I'd say the prognosis favorable.
Oh, definitely. Unless complications develop.
None manifest.
Well, serious complications seldom are. They pop up when they're least expected. That's what makes them serious.
Guess we'd better have a talk with Smith and get his consent for surgery.
Mr. Savo has asked that we discuss our findings with him first, Jimmy. He's been in my outer office for an hour.
Now, that's an odd relationship between Savo and Smith. What do you suppose is behind it?
Well, Dr. Kildare. Who's busting with curiosity now?
Oh, come now, Dr. G. Your long nose is still showing.
It is not. Parker!
Yes, Dr. Gillespie.
Is Mr. Savo still there?
Yes, sir.
Send him in, please.
Doctor, we'll see him now, Mr. Savo.
Thank you. Oh, gentlemen, he's all right, isn't he? There's nothing seriously wrong.
Are you asking us or telling us?
Well, I'm sorry, Doctor. I'm upset. Now, please tell me what you found.
Your friend's a very sick man, Mr. Savo. I'll be blunt with you. We've located what seems to be a cancerous growth.
Then he's going to die.
Nobody said that.
Well, fortunately, you brought him here in time. The growth is operable.
No, Doctor. You're wrong.
Hmm?
The growth is not operable. Not with him.
Are you a doctor, Mr. Salvo?
No, but I know something that you have yet to learn. Then you'll understand. I'll begin by telling you who John Smith really is.
Well?
The man you know as John Smith is Philip III, King of Corsonia.
Oh, Corsonia. That's impossible. Philip of Corsonia abdicated his throne, made the country a democracy 15 years ago. He's been living in England.
He has been here incognito for several months.
Why couldn't you tell us this before?
Because he has enemies. In 4 months, there'll be a plebiscite in Corsonia. An election that will determine whether the country remains democratic or falls before a rising dictatorship. Philip is the one man who can rally the democratic forces, bring the split factions together.
Well, then the operation's even more imperative. If we don't operate, he'll be dead in 2 months.
I know, Doctor. But there's nothing you can do to save him.
But we've told you that the whole...
Just a minute, Jimmy. Just a minute. I'm afraid we're dealing with more than cancer. We're dealing with the curse of royal blood. Is Philip a descendant of the Bourbons, Savo?
Yes.
You mean he's a hemophiliac, a bleeder?
Yes, Doctor.
What can we do, Dr. Gillespie? If we don't operate on him, he'll die of cancer in 2 months. If we do operate, his blood won't coagulate. He'll bleed to death on the table.
Jimmy, that man is doomed.
Story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Dr. Gillespie.
Well, Sunshine Carew, what's on your mind?
Of course, my position as head of this hospital seems to mean nothing to some people I could name. But may I remind you, I do have certain rights.
Did you come in here to read me the Constitution?
I am speaking of my rights in this hospital.
Oh.
Why haven't I been informed that Blair Hospital is honored by the presence of His Royal Majesty, Philip III of Corsonia?
What? Carew? How in tarnation did you find that out? That man's here incognito. You understand?
I understand that you have tried to deprive Blair Hospital of the greatest publicity story in its history.
Publicity? If one word of this leaks out, I'll cut out your giblets.
But really, you expect me to ignore...
How did you find out?
I have my sources of information, Dr.
Oh, wow. So that's it. Parker!
Did you call me, Your Majesty? Dr. Gillespie.
You nitwit. So that's why you've been practicing that funny bowing stuff.
Well, for your information, it's not funny bowing stuff. It's what they do at court, and it's called a curtsy.
Curtsy. With those pretzel legs of yours.
Pretzel legs? Let me tell you.
You'll tell me nothing. I'll tell you, both of you. A man is going to die, and the country he loves may die with him. Is that what you two blabbermouths want to turn into a publicity circus? Get out of here!
Dr. Kildare, come in.
How are you today, Mr....
I gave up being a king 15 years ago. Call me Philip, please. And regard me as a friend.
Oh, thank you.
Savo tells me that I have 2 months, Doctor.
Oh, of course, we can never be certain about those.
No. It's all right. I had hoped it might be longer. Not for myself, but for my people. If only I could live until the plebiscite. To see them secure with an honorable government, I would do anything.
Would you gamble on losing the 2 months you do have to live? Would you take that chance?
Why do you ask, Dr. Kildare?
Because even with the odds 1,000 to 1 against us, I'm going to ask you to risk that operation.
But with hemophilia... Just a moment, Savo. Go ahead, Dr. Kildare.
Well, when a hemophiliac lives to maturity, as you have, there's sometimes an improvement in the condition of his blood. Not much, but some. With a strict pre-surgical regime, we might make some slight additional improvement. Maybe enough to give us just the ghost of a chance.
How can you ask him to take this risk?
You're forgetting something, Savo. I am going to die in any case. Dr. Kildare is asking me to risk what time I have left against the faint hope of recovery, and with it, life for our people.
I'm sorry, Philip. I withdraw my objection.
All right, Doctor. I'll gamble with you. But do you realize you are gambling, too?
I realize that very keenly.
Well, then why are you doing this, Doctor?
I have my reasons.
Very well. When will you operate?
In about 2 weeks, when we've prepared you as best we can. I'll start by having the nurse bring you a capsule. It's an ovarian extract. You're to have one every 3 hours around the clock from now until surgery. The other preparations, well, you'll be acquainted with them as we go along. Send for me, Dr. Gillespie?
You know darn well I did. Sit down, Jimmy. Sit down. What are you up to?
Why, I don't know what you mean.
Do you think I'm deaf, dumb, blind? What's behind those extracts you've been prescribing for Philip?
Well, Dr. Gillespie, I've started him on a pre-surgery regime.
A pre-surgery? Jimmy Kildare, have you gone mad?
You've got to try it.
Have you thought of what failure means?
The life of one man who'll die anyhow.
Oh, I know that. But the world won't know about it, or about the odds against you. They'll only know that a king died under your scalpel, and your future as a doctor will die with him.
I can't let that matter. Not in the face of what it means to his country, or what it may mean to the rest of the world.
What does it mean to us?
If Philip lives, it guarantees a democracy in Corsonia. Friendly nation in the strategic heart of Europe. Something to help balance our world against everything that might try to destroy it. And does my reputation mean more than that?
Well, you're right, Jimmy. We've no choice. Let's have it. What have you planned?
Oh, well, now, Dr. Gillespie, I can't ask you to share this.
Oh, confound it, Jimmy Kildare. Don't you try pulling that on me. I brought you into this case, and we'll see it through together.
Now, if we can get a look at this blood smear under the microscope.
He did a lot of bleeding for a simple finger puncture, Jimmy.
I know.
How does that slide look?
The platelet count's all right. Let's see, above 250,000, but there's still a qualitative defect.
That's the trouble. It won't clot.
Type AB. We'll call a donor.
All set for direct transfusion, Dr. Kildare.
Thanks, Parker. Now, you may bleed quite a bit, sir.
I understand.
Clench and unclench your fist after I enter the vein. Here we go.
Hey, watch the point of entry, Jimmy.
It's all right. He'll get more than he loses.
Yeah, not as much as he'll need.
Platelets look a little better, Dr. G.
Clotting time, didn't it? Still took too long.
Well, we'll have to give him another direct transfusion in surgery.
Parker, prepare an injection of fresh serum, 30 cc's.
Intramuscular?
Yes, Parker, but I'll administer it.
I better repeat the same injection 24 hours before surgery.
I will. But that'll be it, Dr. Gillespie. There's nothing else we can do.
Yes, there is, Jimmy. Yes, there is. Give it up.
I can't. I've given my word, win or lose. Parker, see that the operating room is ready Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock. Scalpel, Parker.
Yes, Doctor.
How are those hemoclamps, Dr. Gillespie?
All right, Jimmy, but hurry up.
No time for pathology. We've got to get out fast.
Open the transfusion valve a little more, Parker. He isn't getting it fast enough.
Carcinoma isn't too bad. I'll be finished in a minute.
Oh, the cancer isn't our worry.
Dr. Kildare.
What is it, Dr. Mason?
I'm not getting a pulse, Doctor.
I can't stop. Quickly, Parker. Coramine hypo.
Here.
I'll take it.
Right into the heart muscle, Dr. Gillespie.
There it is, Jimmy.
Well, I've got all of the growth ready for suturing. Any response, Dr. Mason?
No, I don't. Wait a minute. Yes. Faint, but there's a pulse.
Step up the oxygen, please.
Watch those hemo clamps, Jimmy.
I am, but we've got to close him up fast. Can't take much more blood from the donor.
Pulse is holding evenly, Doctor, but still faint.
We'll make it.
We'll get him out alive, and we've got to keep him that way. That's a tough one, Jimmy. Yeah.
Get those ice packs ready, Parker. Temperature change around the incision may help clotting.
How about cannon applications?
Try it. We'll try anything now. We've got nothing to lose.
Hello, Jimmy.
Oh, Dr. G.
How is he?
Oh, I'm afraid we've lost. See for yourself.
But, Jimmy, there's no excessive blood loss here. Clotting seems to be all right.
All right, but too late.
Jimmy, come over here.
Is he gone?
Gone, nothing. Well, what was his last temperature reading?
Very low, almost down to 96.
Well, it's better than that now. You can tell by feeling him. Get those ice packs off him right away.
He does seem to be warmer.
Ah, of course he's warmer. He's not in coma. He's in shock from loss of blood. But he's holding now. Let his temperature come up.
The clotting is strong enough to hold.
If he's watched every minute to keep him from moving. Once he comes out of shock, one more transfusion would get him over the hump.
Yes, unless we've failed where we can't see our failure. Inside, there may be internal loss, you know.
Well, if there is, he won't regain consciousness.
If there is, it'll be my fault.
Don't ever say that, Jimmy. Getting him this far is a miracle. You had to work faster than any surgeon I've ever seen, and against fantastic odds.
He's stirring. He's coming around.
Talk to him. Penetrate his consciousness.
I'll try. Philip. Philip, do you hear me, Philip?
Dr. Kildare.
He's coming through, Jimmy.
Yes.
Finished?
Yes, Philip, we're finished. It's all over. You'll be all right now.
I had faith in you.
You couldn't have had faith in a better man. Jimmy, I'm going to call the donor.
Oh, I'll do it, Dr. Gordon.
No. You stay here with your patient. I'm the assistant on this case, and I'm proud of it.
And now, once again, the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres as Dr. Kildare and Lionel Barrymore as Dr. Gillespie.
Good morning, Dr. G.
Well, Jimmy, why so bright and cheerful?
Why haven't you seen the morning papers? Hey, look. Results of the Corsonia plebiscite. Look at that headline.
Former monarch leads democratic faction to overwhelming victory.
Mm-hmm.
People rallied to execute. Jimmy, that is wonderful.
I know, and look at this. The man we knew as Sarvo was elected president of the Republic.
Ah, president. I like that word, Jimmy. I like it. Gives me a safe feel.
Dr. Kildare.
Yes,
Parker, must you come in here like you were shot out of a cannon?
Well, I wanted to give this to Dr. Kildare. It's a cablegram. It just came all the way from Europe.
From Europe?
Here. What is it? What does it say?
Well, give him a chance to open it. Do you think he has x-ray eyes? Well, Jimmy, what does it say?
It's from Philip. It says, President Sarvo and I thank you for a victory that would not have been possible without your help and the help of Dr. Gillespie. And persuading Sarvo to appoint me ambassador to the United States and look forward to seeing you again. Sarvo and I pledge that you and your country will always have friends in ours. With humble gratitude, Philip.
You have just heard the story of Dr. Kildare, starring Lou Ayres and Lionel Barrymore. This program was written by Joel Murcott and directed by Joe Bigelow. Original music was composed and conducted by Walter Schumann. Virginia Gregg was heard as Nurse Parker and Ted Osborne as Dr. Carew. Others in the cast included Larry Dobkin and Ben Wright. Dick Joy speaking.
Well, now it's time to go back to World War II for an episode of Command Performance. This is a program that allowed military men to, all over the world, in fact, to go ahead and request what they wanted of Hollywood, and Hollywood would do it. This show is from 1944. It's number 143 in the series.
USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the service men and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over there. Okay there, gang, it's time to nestle your frames neath the killer cycles and partake of static with your old friends on Command Performance. Tonight's chopped liver bivouac, as usual, comes to you per your letters to Command Performance, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And with us tonight to act as the head, hup, toop, reep, whoop man on our hike up and down the old beam is one of your all-time favorites, Spencer Tracy.
How are you, men? Since you've gone across both big ponds, a lot of new faces have popped up over here in the entertainment world. Yes, a lot of fresh personalities have got together, forming a flying wedge and giving show business quite a hypo. So tonight's Command Performance will present a few of these new stars and let them have a go at the ether. For instance, here are the Pied Pipers to start things off with a clang, clang, clang with the trolley song.
With my heart dark color and my high top shoes and my hair on my head.
I went to lose a jolly hour on the trolley and lost my heart instead.
With his light brown derby
and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yell, so I counted to ten, then I counted to ten again. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings.
For the moment I saw him, I fell.
Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Thump, thump, thump went my heartstrings.
When he smiled, I could feel the car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat.
He said he hoped he hadn't stepped up on my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath.
I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death.
Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Flop, flop, flop went the wheel. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on with me, and it was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the line. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. He started to leave.
sleeve. I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on with me. And it was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the
Thank you, Pied Pipers. Well, let's see who our next new face is. A glance at my script tells me it's that young star. She may be a star, but five will get you eight. She's not young. Cass Daly.
Well, hiya, Sack. Glad to see you.
I beg your pardon, Miss Daly. There must be some mistake.
What do you mean, mistake? This is a program for new faces, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, name me one dame who needs a new face more than I do.
I don't think your face is so bad. As a matter of fact, it seems quite serviceable.
There you go. Trying to turn my head.
That wouldn't be such a bad idea either. Miss Daly, you see, our whole program tonight is devoted to young, new personalities.
Yeah? Well, then what are you doing here? You've been around longer than Spam, Jack.
You're not kidding. I'm the master of ceremonies, you see, Miss Daly. It's my duty to introduce the young stars.
Oh. Well, I'm going on 22.
Yes, but what are you coming from?
You know, this guy's name is Tracy, but he talks like the Brow, don't he?
Cass, look, yes. Now why don't you stick around and see what fresh new talent really looks like? Right now, here's a gal who is fast becoming the number one canary of 1944, Joe Stafford.
Thanks, Spencer, and hi there, fellas. I want to send regards to N.R. Brilliant at 520, Morris Pratt and his associates at 980, also Will Ross, the Huff 31 gang at 726, including Love, the Reverend, Studs McClellan, Old Man Crumholtz, Pee Wee, Stomper, and the Saxes. For military reasons, we had to hush your request, fellas. Send along another, will you? Corporal Freed and the Cornpone Builders at 709, a bunch of wing and a prayer men, namely Bomb Aimer, Art, Flo, Al, Jughead, Dangerous John, SLFD, no relation to LSMSD, Bang Bang McCallum, and Toomey the Groovy Lewis. And, of course, it goes without saying that I just gotta sing good tonight because Thompson and Milkus, those two big mattress men overseas, said they were going to listen. Grab a handful of these notes, fellas, while the Pipers and I give you Duke Sing with new lyrics, and I think you'll like them. Nobody.
about you.
Thank you, Joe Stafford. You see, Cass, that's what Command Performance is looking for, a new personality.
Well, Spence, I can sing, too.
I know, but your personality.
Now, what's wrong with my personality?
I'm afraid it gets across.
Oh, listen, they should never have left this kid out of Boy Town. Oh, now, come on, Spence, give me a break, won't you? Introduce me as the next new star, come on.
No, I couldn't do that, Cass. You see, we're trying to boost morale. Our next young star, Cass, is really a Lulu. She has beautiful hair.
Well, so have I.
She has beautiful eyes.
Well, so have I.
And she has a gorgeous figure.
Well, what else has she got? Well, never mind. Don't tell me. Bring her in.
Fellows, our next guest is MGM's challenge to Shangri-La. One of the most talented youngsters to come upon the 1944 scene, Miss Gloria DeHaven.
Hello, fellas, and thank you, Mr. Tracy. You're so sweet.
Oh, no, I'm not. You're the one who's sweet.
Oh, no, Mr. Tracy. You're the one who's really sweet.
Well, I may, but I'm not nearly as sweet as you are.
This is worse than Saratan spelled backwards, ain't it?
Mr. Tracy, who is this?
Well, she claims to be one of our new stars.
Oh, are you a star?
Oh, sure. Remember the first picture the Dead End Kids ever made? I was in that.
My, this is a thrill. I never expected to meet Humphrey Bogart. Before I get into the music, I want to say hello to R.K. Stone at Navy 501, the inhabitants of Grable Manor who sign Big Ignorance, Little Ignorance, and Fat Ignorance. Lewis Meyer with the Marine Umbriago Raiders, another gang of Marines, Sack, Claw, Gook, Icky, Harry Johnson, Squeezer in the Mouth, and some 208ers, Hugh Ball Larson, Spider-Legged Winning, Suntan Rodriguez, Shovelfoot Huber, Nipper the Ripper, Tubby Dome, Curly Williams, and Thin Thatch Berkeley. And the censor, H.W. Venable, who says, me too. Got time for just one more at this standing. Charlie Grodinski, who says he spends most of his time with his head inside a diesel engine, but said he has a radio in there. Major, it's time for the downbeat.
In love to know what I'm doing, too much in love, but it's divine. All I can think of are those eyes of yours, those eyes of yours that shine. Too much in love, but oh, how I love it. This is no fly-by-night affair. I may wind up behind my dreams, but I'm too much in love to care. All I can think of are those eyes of yours. Too much in love to care.
And now I want you to meet a... The rest of this seems to be written in a different language. It says a solid center who is hanging from the clouds by his thumbs, a Hep Jackson whose murder with the chicks, a virtuoso, a boot. Is there an interpreter in the house here somewhere?
Pardon me, Jack. Can I help you out of your dilemma? The name is Johnny Mercer. Gather around me, everybody. Gather around me while I preach them. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm against. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum, and have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark? Man, they said we better accept. You ain't the positive, elim. My name's the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You got to accept. You ain't the positive, elim. My name's the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In-Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.
Thank you, Johnny Mercer. That was a groovy train rocking and rolling with ready riffs as these mellow sound catchers have heard in many an early break. Solid, Jack, that was all reach. You know, this stuff isn't so hard, especially if you don't know what you're doing. Now let's get back to Earth and our parade of new faces. This is positively the newest face around, 13-year-old Lois Butler.
It's not me.
Thank you, Lois. That was really beautiful.
Boy, I'll say the kid's got stuff.
Thank you, Miss Daly.
Why don't you get going, Shorty? This is a grown-up hour. Besides, Mr. Tracy has a date with me.
No, he's going to have a date with me.
I'm caught between two generations. Cass, you got me into this now. Maybe you can get me out of it. How about answering a request to do that brand new number of yours?
Well, glad to, Spence. Major Wilson, if you will, and I know you will, because if you won't, I'll shake that military crease out of your shirt. I will.
To a concert in the park, I wandered after dark, as blue as I could be, when a sailor next to me took my hand and he said, Bessie, I love you mucho. Mucho, 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 mucho. Mucho. I said, take it easy, take it easy. Don't give me that GI drive. Not alive. I like your suit. You're all rude. Put a fellow at ease. I'm one of those lonesome draftees, and I'd like a date with you. So we wound up in a cabaret, and boy, we were having fun. So he caught sight of his girlfriend, who was standing there with a gun. Oh, my knees went knock-a-day-knock. Not from love, love, love. He went as cuckoo as the cuckoo in the clock and began to shove, shove, shove. She sucked my eye and pulled my hair, and then she hit me with a chair. She swung her lips out with my teeth. She swung her right thing underneath. She swung her, swung her, swung her, swung to her. It was a holiday for swings. To call the doctor that morning to see if everything was still all right. And when he opened up my mouth that morning, he said, my dear, there's not a tooth in sight. Had to be me. It had to be Jesse. It couldn't be you or others I knew. It had to be me. His girlfriend, she looks like a soft little queen, but she's wasting her time. She should be a marine. It had to be me. All of it.
Thank you, Cass. Thanks again, Cass. Well, men, we dipped into the froth of the old talent growler tonight and came up with a pretty heady lineup of up-and-coming artists. We intend to keep pitching these high, hard ones at you whenever a new face comes up to bat. Meantime, boys and girls, re-identify yourselves.
I'm Jay Mercer, and don't forget to accentuate the positive.
I'm Lois Butler, and I'm 13 years old.
I'm June Hutton of the Pipers, and I'm 17 years old.
I'm Gloria DeHaven, and I'm 18 years old.
I'm Joe Stafford, and I'm 19 years old.
I'm Cass Daly, and I pass.
And this is Grandpa Tracy saying the best of the best from the USA.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan, thanking you for listening.